I invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. A few weeks ago, we began to look at 1 Corinthians 13. It's known as the Great Love chapter. And we've pointed out that even though often we associate 1 Corinthians 13 with weddings and marriage, which is appropriate, but it's not really the context. The context of 1 Corinthians 13 in this great love chapter is the church and how we, the church, are to love one another. And so the love that is described in 1 Corinthians 13 is for all of us, not just for our marriages, but for loving one another in the church and even loving those outside of the church. The outline that we've been using in 1 Corinthians 13, the first three verses, is the prominence of love. Verses 4 through 7, the properties of love. Verses 8 through 12, the permanence of love. And then verse 13, the preeminence of love. We've looked at the first three verses, that prominence of love, and we began to look at verses 4 through 7, the properties of love. We didn't get real far, we got just the first three properties of love in verse 4. Love suffers long, love acts kindly, and love envies not. We've looked at those three. I remind you that there are 15 statements or 15 properties of love listed here. Every one of those 15 statements are verbs. Love is an action. It's not passive. Love is not primarily a feeling. It is an action. Love is not passive. It is active. And so it's 15 verbs. It's not telling us so much what love is. It's telling us what love does. And that's the emphasis in verses 4 through 7. In those 15 statements, there are 7 positive statements, 7 and 8 negative statements. And by that I mean there's 7 statements that what love does, and then there's 8 statements of what love does not do. Again, 15 verbs. 7, what love does. 8, what love does not do. As you can see in verse 4, the first two are positive. What love does. Love suffers long. Love acts kindly. And then we have a negative. Love does not envy. And beginning with that, the love does not envy. Now for 8 statements, it's negative. What love does not do. This morning we want to look at just the next two in verse 4. Love does not vaunt itself. Love is not puffed up. We want to look at those this morning. And we want to tie that in with what we've been talking about this morning as we praise God for what He has done. Let's bow in prayer. Father, again, we thank You for the opportunity to be together, to worship You, to study Your Word, to rejoice, and to celebrate what You have done for us. Again, Father, we want You to be glorified. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He begins by saying that the last part of verse 4, it's love does not vaunt itself, or love does not boast. Depending on what your translation is, does not vaunt itself, or does not boast, or does not brag. This is tied in then with that second one. Well, love is not puffed up. Or again, your translation may say love is not arrogant, or love is not conceited. These two go together. Does not vaunt itself, is not puffed up, or does not brag and is not arrogant, or does not boast and is not conceited. I would put it this way. Boasting is an outward display of pride. Arrogance is an inward disposition of pride. So we have the outward display of pride, that's boasting or bragging. And then we have the inward disposition of pride, and that's arrogance or conceit. So let's look at the first one. Love does not boast, or love does not vaunt itself, or love does not brag. You know, boasting is kind of the other side of jealousy. The third property mentioned in verse 4 is love envies not, or love is not jealous. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago. This boasting is kind of the other side of jealousy. Jealousy is wanting something that someone else has. Boasting is trying to get others to want what I have. So jealousy is, I want what you have, but if I start boasting, it's about me wanting you to want what I have. And neither can coexist with love. Jealousy puts others down. Love can't exist with jealousy. Boasting lifts self up. And that cannot exist with love. Boasting puts others down, builds self up. Love builds others up and puts self down. They're just the opposite of each other. It's amazing how we hate bragging in others, don't we? I mean, when you see others bragging and boasting, it just kind of grates on. At least with me, when I see somebody on the NFL score a touchdown and they start going, I don't know, that doesn't turn me on too much. It's disgusting. I like what one coach said. He said, I don't want any celebrating when you get into the end zone. He said, I want you to act like you've been there before. Probably a good idea. But that boasting, we don't like it when we see it in others, but we are so inclined to boast and brag ourselves. Christ is obviously the perfect example. Christ had everything to boast about. He's God. And yet he never boasted. We have nothing to boast about, and we're so inclined to do it. When we boast, we put ourselves on top and everyone else, including God, beneath us, as if they are not as important as we are. And that's the danger of pride and boasting. It puts God Himself underneath us. We make ourselves our own God as we boast and brag about our successes or our abilities, what we have done or what we're able to do, and we boast and brag about it, and we put ourselves on top of everyone else. We're more important than they, we're better than they are, even God. Boasting cannot exist in the presence of love. I can't love someone and then put myself above them. I can't love God and put myself above Him. Indeed, if there's going to be any boasting at all, it's got to be boasting in the Lord. We need to boast in who He is and what He has done. You don't need to turn to it, but in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses that I'm sure you're familiar with, if you haven't memorized them, you should. Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him that boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Don't boast in your might. Don't boast in your riches. Don't boast in your wealth. Boast in this. Boast in who God is, in His loving kindness, in His wisdom. Boast in that which God has done. And that's our purpose here this morning. If in any way, anything that we have said sounded like we were bragging about ourselves as a church, we have failed. Because that's not our intent at all. Our intent is to boast in the Lord, to brag on what He has done, what He has provided for us, and how He has worked it through for His own glory. We want our boasting to be in Him. The verse goes on and says, tied in with this, love does not brag, and love is not arrogant. The old King James says love is not puffed up. Actually, that's a very good translation. The word itself that's used here, the original word, is the word phusiao. It comes from the word phusa. And phusa in the original Greek language meant bellows. Phusiaso was the word to inflate the bellows. And that's pride, isn't it? We get lifted up with pride and we inflate ourselves. And sometimes we talk about getting big-headed and we inflate ourselves. So that word, to be not puffed up, is really an excellent translation. But it is the idea of arrogance and conceit and pride. As we said, the boasting is that outward display of pride. The arrogance is the inward disposition of pride. It's that conceit and that arrogance that we have within ourselves. The Corinthians were very guilty of having this arrogance, this pride, this conceit being puffed up. If you remember back earlier in 1 Corinthians, as we've studied this, in chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul accused them of being puffed up one against another, or to have conceit and arrogance one against another. Remember, they were divided among themselves. There was great division within the church at Corinth, and some were saying, I'm of Paul, and some were saying, I'm of Apollos, and some were saying, I'm of Peter, and each one of those groups thought they were superior to the other, and they were lifted up with pride, they were puffed up, they were arrogant as they looked at each other and thought that our group's better than yours. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And then there were those who were, I'm of Jesus. Arrogance and pride puffed up one against another, and that pride caused great divisions within the church at Corinth. Not only that, but in chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. That was in the context of that Christian liberty. And he said that, you know, some of you do have knowledge, and you understand that you don't have to follow a list of rules and regulations that are extra-biblical to try to be spiritual. Your knowledge is such that you have some Christian liberty and you don't have to be bound by these extra-biblical rules. And yet, in that knowledge, they were looking down on the weaker brother. In their arrogance, they were looking down on their weaker brother, and that knowledge was puffing them up, and I'm better than you. Instead of loving that weaker brother and wanting to build that weaker brother up and edify him, they, in their arrogance, were looking down on the weaker brother, and they were saying, in essence, I'm going to exercise my liberty and I don't care what you think. That was arrogance. They were puffed up. They were prideful. Instead of loving that weaker brother. And so love builds others up, whereas arrogance builds self up. Love is big-hearted. Arrogance is big-headed. We get puffed up. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, we're reminded that all of our abilities, all that we have, all of our successes, it's all from God. It's all a gift from Him. We don't deserve any of it. We don't have it because we're better. It's all by God's grace. It's all a gift from Him. And we need to be reminded of that, because it's when I forget that what I have and what abilities I might have or what successes I might have, that it's all a gift from God. When I forget that, I start getting puffed up like I'm the one that did it. And so he reminds us of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. To be arrogant about one's abilities and successes is to steal God's glory. What you've been able to do in your life, the abilities that you have, they are gifts from God. And therefore, what you have done, what you're able to do, God deserves the glory for it, because He's the one that gave that to you. And when you start taking credit for it, you're stealing God's glory. No wonder he says in James chapter 4 and verse 6, God resists the proud. If someone breaks into your house and starts stealing your things, you're going to resist that person, aren't you? When you start stealing God's glory, He's going to resist you. When you get lifted up with pride and start taking credit for what you've done or what you have, God's going to resist, because you're stealing the glory that belongs to Him. We are to be boasting in Him, not in ourselves. And so He resists the proud. The Corinthians in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, were actually uses this same word. Paul says you're puffed up in their sin. Remember in 1 Corinthians 5, there was a member of their church who was committing incest with his stepmother. And they did nothing about it. They were actually puffed up and arrogant about the sin. And you know what? That's what pride does to us. Pride blinds us to our own sin. We get so arrogant and conceited and puffed up that we don't even see our sin. And when we're confronted with it by someone else, we get defensive. In our pride, we don't want to be confronted with our sin. We don't want to acknowledge our sin. We get puffed up and be defensive when we are confronted with sin. You know, I have to admit, I was faced with this past year. With our renovations, it was a stressful year. I can't lie to you. It was stressful. Just a lot of stuff going on. And like I said, making sure every Sunday school class had a room to meet in on Sunday and just making sure everything was ready and just all the changes and making sure that it all coordinated together. It was a stressful year. And I didn't always handle that stress in a biblical way. I handled it sinfully at times. One day Lynn said to me, "What's wrong? You're so snappy with me. You're so short with me. It's like you're going to bite my head off. What's wrong?" And of course, I responded very Christ-like and humbly. "You know, you're so snappy with me. You're so short with me." And I responded, "No, I'm not." She just kind of looked at me with that look. I got defensive. Why? Because I was confronted with sin and my pride took over. And I wasn't loving my wife at that moment like I needed to love my wife because of pride. I wasn't loving my God like I needed to love my God because of pride. I wasn't willing to look at myself and recognize I was sinning against God. I wasn't handling this in a biblical way. And I had to acknowledge that before the Lord. Pride blinds us to our sin. I didn't even recognize that I was getting stressed. I was so blinded. Pride gets defensive when confronted with sin. Love humbly acknowledges sin. And we need to have that love. Arrogance causes us to see ourselves as superior to others and blinds us to our own sin. I love the example of John the Baptist. Remember when John the Baptist's disciples came to him and they were actually jealous of the success of Jesus. They didn't fully understand who Jesus was, the Messiah and all, and they saw this man Jesus and his disciples and they were baptizing more people than John the Baptist was. And John the Baptist's disciples were jealous of the popularity of Jesus and they came to John and said, "Well, what are we going to do?" And John said, "Here's what we're going to do. He must increase, and I must decrease." What a wonderful example for us. Jesus must increase. I must decrease. I can't be puffed up in my conceit and in my arrogance and in my pride. Now, Proverbs says a lot about pride. In fact, in chapter 6 of Proverbs, there's a list of 7 things that are abomination to the Lord. That word abomination, if you study it out, that's not a good thing. 7 things are an abomination to the Lord, and one of those 7 is pride. Pride is an abomination to God. In chapter 8, God hates pride. And then it's in Proverbs chapter 16 that we read, "Pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall." Pride is an abomination before God. He hates it. Because it's lifting ourselves up above Him and stealing His glory. It's really all about selfishness. Pride is selfishness. I lift myself up, my desires, my thoughts, my preferences, my pleasures, my satisfactions. What I want is more important than yours, and more important than God's. And it's about self as I puff myself up. And pride is a root of all of our idols. We have idols. We have things in our lives, our desires and our pleasures and our the things that satisfy us, and they become so important to us that they're more important than God, and it's all about self. It's what I want. It's what makes me feel good. And pride is that root of all of our idols. And once again, we come to that James chapter 4, and that's why I quote it so often, because it really is about where we live every day. God resists the proud. The minute I have those selfish thoughts and those idols of my heart, and God's going to resist. The God of the universe, who has this whole creation at His disposal, is resisting you when we get lifted up with pride. That ought to scare us to death. The Creator of all of the universe, with everything at His disposal, resists you when you put self first in pride. But He gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. I remind you what grace is. Grace is that undeserved kindness from God. You see why He resists the proud? See, the proud believes that they deserve what they get. In pride, I think I deserve the abilities that I have. I think I deserve the successes I have. I think I deserve the desires that I have. I deserve it. Well, God's going to resist that, because pride will close the door to God's grace. Grace is undeserved kindness. Pride says, I deserve His kindness. And it closes the door to God's grace, but He gives grace to the humble. Pride says, I deserve it. Humility says, I don't deserve anything. And when I recognize that I deserve nothing, that opens the door to God's grace as He pours out His undeserved kindness upon me. He did it at the cross of Jesus Christ when He sent His Son to die for us. We didn't deserve His love. We didn't deserve the sacrifice of the Savior. We don't deserve the salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it, but we have to humble ourselves and recognize it's by His grace. But when I get lifted up with pride, I think I deserve Jesus to die for me. I think I deserve God's kindness. And He's going to resist the proud. We've been here this morning giving God the glory for what He's done for us. We did not deserve any of it. We don't deserve this beautiful building. We don't deserve we don't deserve walls for our Sunday school classes. We don't deserve it. But God in His grace has given us this building, very functional, very safe, and we praise Him for it. And we want to give Him the glory. To God be the glory, great things He has done. To God be the glory for all that He has given to us. I'd ask you to turn in your hymn book to hymn number 4. And it's that song, My Tribute. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Let's sing that together. Can I? I say thanks for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. If I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised. The things He has done. Father, to You be all the glory for the things You have done. Thank You again for being the head of the church. And may we follow You in the days and weeks and months and years ahead, always seeking Your will, always seeking Your glory, and never taking credit for ourselves for what You have done. May we never steal Your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. I remind you to go back to the back and look at what God has given to us. There are some refreshments back there. Help yourself to them. Let's stand together. Father, we're so thankful that we are able to be together this morning and give You that praise and glory. May we continue to do so and again be good stewards of that which You have given to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you. Because of the weather, not many of you are here, so there's lots of food back there, so go help yourself.